Just along those same lines, it's not even a question, it's something I was actually thinking about you guys expounding on, because it was in regard to a question that we've had like in the last couple weeks. But if you could further explain to answer a question regarding the same thing with faith, but where people bought their, well, Jesus told them to bring the sword, bring the money bag, that whole thing. I think that's actually would be very helpful to further explain the whole faith thing, because I think people are a little confused still about that. So
okay, so just to clarify also. So question regarding faith, because we were just talking about the whole sword thing and all that. Question regarding faith being like an action, an expectation, taking a step of faith kind of a thing. Okay. You want to go or do you want me to go?
No, and I think, you know,
I'll get the verse while you're talking.
Yeah, because I think this is something that you've talked about. I mean, actually, the first person that I ever heard mention that was you.
Right.
When you drew the distinction between the time that Jesus tells them that they don't need a sword, that they don't need a money bag, and then right before the cross, right where he's leaving, he's telling them, take a sword, get a money bag. So yeah, I mean, it's just, I think we were talking even about last time.
Yeah, but I think it just came up in my mind the other day about it, and then you guys are talking about faith anyway, so I just think that's a good thing to explain, because it actually sheds a lot of light on how it works.
What faith is.
And how it works.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, and do we have any other questions after this? Okay, so just keep in mind, if you want to get any more questions, then I would do it right now. Okay, I'll just get another question. Okay. So I'll try not to take too long on this. So this is, and it is really important. Actually, before I even go into this, the whole like word of faith movement and stuff, I don't know everything that entails, but I just know a lot of people that are involved with like the word of faith and, you know, faith and confession and all this kind of stuff. First of all, like faith itself has nothing to do with what you say. Faith and what you say are two different things. Now, faith does produce words. Faith does produce confession. But Jesus said, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but he does say this. We actually have a thing even on a wallpaper on the website right now, under the extras tab. There's a wallpaper, and it talks about this verse too. But like, for instance, faith and confession are conflated. Like that, it's almost like it's the same thing, that when you got to believe it and speak it, believe it and speak it. It's not just believe it. It's all, you know, you got to speak it too, or else it's not going to work. And like, so that's one thing that people mistake for faith is confession, speaking it, speak it out. And Jesus said, this is literally what he said. He said, don't change the fruit. In other words, don't change the words. He said, either make the tree good and therefore its fruit good, or make the tree bad and therefore its fruit bad. Now, what he means by tree there is talking about your mind specifically. Our bodies are called, our flesh is called tree lots of times. So when he's referring to your mind specifically, though, that part of your flesh. And the fruit there, he's referring to your word. So if you were to take it out of its symbolism and reveal that, what he says is either make your mind good and your words good, or make your mind bad and therefore your words bad. In other words, but don't try to change your words, just change your mind and renew your mind, and then your words will be good. So confession just comes afterwards. Like that's, it's a inevitable thing that happens. And yes, if someone comes up here and is crying and saying, oh my God, because all these things are happening to me, and you know, maybe God's trying to teach me something. Okay, by what you just said to me, I can judge the fact that your head is nowhere's good right now. But it's not because, oh, you got to wash your words more. No, you need to renew your mind. Make your mind good, and then your words will be good, right? I'm never going to advise somebody, oh, don't say that. If you say it, it'll come to pass. You're going to speak it into existence. That's baloney. Like, there's nothing in the Bible that says about speaking it into existence. Sure, the Bible talks about faith and confession. I understand that. And of course, when you believe something in full, it will be spoken out. And only at that point, when you believe something fully and you have come to a full assurance of understanding of something, and therefore confession will start to come out also simultaneously, sure, that's the point where you're going to receive, but not because of the confession, right? So anyways, that's one thing with confession that faith is not. You could talk all day about what faith is not, but another thing that faith is not is, here's the thing. Faith is used lots of times as an expectation. Like, when we talk about Jesus died for us, so we don't have to. We have eternal life now. Oh, I'm never going to die. I don't know how to convince myself I'm never going to die. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to die. I'm never going to get sick. That's not faith at all. What does that have to do with Jesus? What is, I'm not going to get sick. I never get sick. I've even heard people, I don't get sick. Well, yeah. What do you mean you don't get sick? You don't get sick, you don't die. What we're taught, here's the problem with that. We're defining faith as an expectation. If I'm in faith, that means I expect. Think about this. If faith is really an expectation that I'm not going to get sick, and I'm never going to get sick, nothing bad's ever going to happen, and I'm not going to die. Now, I'm not saying any of those things have to happen to you, right? Because what we got in right here, what Jesus provided, right? I know that. But I'm not saying it has to happen. But but the problem with that is that it means, to us, we're saying faith means I expect to never get sick. Okay, so think about this, right? If that's really what faith is, like putting ourselves in those shoes, which we've been in those shoes before, if faith means I expect that I'm always going to be well bodily and that I'll never die, then aren't I a hypocrite for going to the doctor? If faith, if God's really asking me to do is expect, I expect I'll never get sick. Why would you, if I firmly expect that I'll never get sick, why would I ever have to go to the doctor? Even if I'm not feeling well, I don't know how that makes any sense anyway, but you see what I'm saying? If faith is an expectation, then of course, I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to die. So you're never, ever, ever going to take any precautions because I'm never going to get sick. So yeah, coronavirus, okay, I'm just going to go out, and not only am I not going to wear a mask, and I'm not going to wash my hands, and I'm not going to wear gloves, and I'm not going to do any of that, and not only am I not going to stay home, but I'm going to go out to everybody that has coronavirus, and I'm going to touch them all and ask them to spit in my hand and rub it all over my face, because I can't get sick. I'm never going to get sick. Now, what's the problem with that? Because we think faith means I expect that I will never get sick. No, even if you got sick, faith is a perceiving presently. I believe right now that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, by his stripes, he healed everybody. I believe I have that on the inside of me right now. Faith is perceiving who Jesus is. Guess what? Tomorrow, I don't have to get sick. But if I stub my toe tomorrow and my toe is sore, faith is what at that point in time? Don't put a Band-Aid on your toe? No, faith just means I know that Jesus already took all my pains and all my sickness and all my disease. He took that at the cross. I have therefore all his power on the inside of me right now and all his healing and health on the inside of me right now. And I don't have to live with a sore toe because I have all this provided to me through the cross. Whether my toe is sore or not, it's not that I expect I'll never stub my toe again. And again, I don't have to stub my toe. And why don't I have to? Because I have all this provided to me. But faith is not an expectancy that I will never stub my toe. Faith is knowing who Jesus is
and
what he's provided.
Just something there that's funny, because where that, there was a time.
Nothing to do with expectancy.
And you probably, sorry?
No, sorry. I just said nothing to do with expectancy.
Yep. When you'll recognize this too, because years ago there was a teaching that started coming out about confession, right? And it was extremely popular, and probably to this day it still is. And it was out of Mark 11 in verse number 23. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say," and they would say one, right? "Say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith twice shall come to pass, he shall have wherever he saith three." So they say, okay, that was where that was born, where that came out of too, is that everything was about confession. See, if you, so watch what they teach, that I say unto you, and this is Jesus saying it, that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, that if you say it and say it and say it, so that's where this whole thing came from, confession. But it's funny, what he's actually answering is from the beginning of that chapter. It says in verse number 20 of Mark 11, it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree had dried up from the roots." So that was a manifestation that they saw, right? Like we were talking about before. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away," right? So he says, oh, look, it worked. Look at what you did. And it's cool because Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." That was his response to this, right? He said, have faith in God. And then he said, for verily I say unto you. So you see clearly there that faith in God, and you said it before, produces words, right?
And not only that too, and if I can just interject
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
To specify this also, there are, you can use your words different ways, right? I don't want to get into all this because I don't think that it's probably important to get into all this. But confession is, in other words, if we're using this in this sense, the way that I was just using confession, is out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? So why would you ever change your mouth?
Right.
Because exactly. It's out of the abundance of your heart, right? Well, but here even though, is that confession, that saying is even a little different though. Because that, he's talking about just having authority over everything. He's not saying the word say because, God forbid, if you were born mute, that somehow you can't receive from God.
Exactly.
But you know, well, his point in saying there, the word say, is because he's referring to having authority over all things. So all he's telling them is, he's actually, the word mountain means heavens, right?
Yep.
Or even someone that is heavenly, right? The word mountain. So, like, you know, you could say America, and you could say, oh, all of America is staying in their homes right now. Well, you're not referring to the country, like the ground itself, the place. You're talking about the people in it, right? So when you say mountain, you could be referring to literally like the place, like heaven, or you could be referring to someone in the heavenlies, right? So, but even there, I know that mountain means heaven, and I believe in that context there, he's talking about demons and heavenly things. And you can say, it kind of goes even to what we were talking about before about casting out demons.
Yep.
You can speak to any heavenly thing and tell it to be cast into the sea. You know what the sea is right now, right? To be cast into the sea. Actually, I'm not going to go into this also, but when you actually cast a demon out, the Bible says it actually goes back down to hell. It was in hell before, and then it comes up to inhabit a person. And hopefully this doesn't open another can of worms for questions here, because we got to wrap up at some point. But that, because you start mentioning something that someone may have not heard before, and then
say, like, "Ooh, this does."
And hold on, let me ask this question. Nice. But because the second I said it, I'm like, maybe we should save this. But when you cast out a demon, it goes down to the sea. That's actually what happens. And so he's telling them, "Hey, listen, you're surprised that I spoke to a fig tree and it listened to me. You can say whatever you want." He's not there. He's not even talking about out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Like, you know, in other words, that words will inevitably come out of your mouth just carelessly. That, you know, they'll come out of your mouth just because, you know, when you change your mind, it'll just come out automatically. That's just talking about our conversation. And that's talking about things like that, right? That, like, when I believe something, it comes out in my conversation. That's talking about commanding something, right? All that's saying is that you have authority over everything.
Because
so, of course, it's not using, like, the key word, like, again, like you were saying. They focus on, oh, look, say. He said say. So, so you have to say it in order for it to happen. Well, okay, then you can also say, okay, Jesus also told them that, you know, you can lay hands on the sick and they'd be healed, right? Okay, that's true. But do I have to lay my hands? No, I mean, like, Peter walked by and his shadow healed people too. It's not like a secret method. The only secret method to this, which is not so secret, is believing in Jesus.
Faith in Jesus,
right? Yep. Because again, if you teach people that there's any other little secret method, whether it's tithe, whether it's confession, whether it's laying on of hands, that it's a secret method, and oh, you got to do this to get somebody healed or for something to happen. When you add all these things, the Bible says what you do is you make faith void. It's like, what the heck is the point of faith if I got to do all this stuff too? It's like, it's not really just about one thing.
And then you get people caught up in this thing about you have to speak to your problem. You have to speak to your mountain, and you get all this mess.
But you see that, even what you just said, speak to your mountain. Yep. Let's pause
that
for a second.
Because they're not even looking at what it even is. But isn't that, you know, we've been saying this.
Speak to your mountain.
Yeah, we've been saying this all night, though.
It's erroneous. The
carnal mentality, right? When you take and have a carnal mentality and you read the Bible carnally, you're going to think that mountain is speaking about a physical mountain. And when you can't figure that out because you don't find yourself with the ability to speak to a physical mountain to level it, then you're going to say that, oh, it's just your problems. And then that's where everybody starts singing songs about mountains.
And I understand people, like, again, it's just erroneous. You're saying mountain, it means problem, or you say giants, or you say storms, or whatever, and everything just means your problems, or whatever. But I mean, he's specifically talking about casting out demons.
Yep.
That's because, again, there are other places in Scripture where it literally says, Jesus said that when you cast out a demon, it goes down to waterless places, or in some translations says desert. But the waterless place, actually, believe it or not, the sea is actually called the waterless pit. Don't know why it's called that, but it actually is called the waterless pit. That's when Joseph, as a symbol of Jesus dying and going to hell, he was thrown into a pit that had no water, it says. So when Jesus goes down to hell, or Joseph goes down to the pit because his brothers, the Jews, threw him down into a pit and killed him, you know, symbolically, you know, that it's called the waterless pit. So in the Bible says that when demons are cast out, they go down to the sea, hence it's also called the waterless pit. And when he's talking to them there, it's just that Peter's amazed that Jesus had that authority to do that. And he's like, hey, you could do this too. You could say to any spiritual being, mountain. You could say to any spiritual being even, you know, be plucked up and cast into the sea and it will obey you. You know, in other words, go down to hell, literally, like go where you came from and it would obey you. This is not a secret formula on how to receive from God. You have to say it though, see? Oh, and Jesus said, you got to lay hands. There's purposes for all the reasons why Jesus would say these different things. And of course, you know, if you have a mouth and you can speak and you're not mute and you can't command something, of course, it will obey you. And you have that authority. But he's pointing out authority there. Not that there's, here's the point, right? When Jesus says one thing is needful, you got to stick to that, right? You can't say one thing is needful. Just listen and learn from Jesus. Just learn from Jesus. Just learn from Jesus. That's faith, right? Just learn from Jesus. And then say, oh, but one thing is needful. And then he also tells Mary, or Martha, whoever, Mary, that he was talking to at the time. He's like, speaking with at the time. Oh, yeah, Mary, one thing's needful, but you also got to lay hands, though. You got to make sure you lay hands on somebody. If you can't come in physical contact, nobody can be healed. You know, remember, you got to say it. You got to say the right words, too, and you got to pray the right thing. And no, you got to believe the right thing. If someone's demon possessed, yeah, I can speak to that just the way Jesus was saying. I can tell that mountain that's on the inside of them, be plucked up out of their body and be cast into the sea, and it will obey me. But his point here is not the saying. He's just telling them that they are able to command things because they have authority, and those things will listen, whether that's a mountain, a spiritual thing, or whether it's a fig tree. It doesn't matter. That's his only point there, right? That's the only point. There's always the one thing needful. Always one way to receive from God. Okay, so let me just go over, because I did explain the faith thing. I just didn't use the example of the money bag thing and everything. So, okay, let me give you an example. People get confused about, I think I explained it pretty well when I was talking about the reason why people feel like it's wrong to go to the doctor or it's wrong to put a mask on right now. Honestly, like, even for everybody watching, if you work out in public, I would encourage you to wear a mask. Unless you feel led to not wear a mask. If you're working every day out in public, yeah, wear a mask, wear a glove, do whatever you think that is needful. Don't do it out of paranoia. I'm not even telling you to do it because I feel that you're susceptible. Because according to your faith, you may not even need to wear a mask. But if you don't know, and if God hasn't given you specific guidance to not wear a mask, and if he has given you specific guidance, you just better just confirm that with the Lord. That's different, but I'm not going to argue with you about that. But apart from having specific guidance about God, from God to not do something like that, I would even recommend something like that. Now, people look at that, though, and they say, well, oh, that's not faith. Pastor Mike, that's not faith. You know, if you were really in faith, you wouldn't have to do that. And, you know, if you're really walking in faith and you're really learning from the Lord, you know, we don't need medicine. We don't need to go to the doctor. We don't need to do all these things because I'm in faith. Well, here's the point with that. It depends. It depends on what? Where your faith is. Remember Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you? So let's just, for lack of better way to put this, let's just say my faith, my understanding of the Lord, I'm at 20%, right? That means I'm not going to receive like I'm at 40%, right? I'm going to receive like I'm at 20%. Now, thank God, even with the 20%, the Lord knows that you have lack of knowledge, and he'll just use that 20% to work all things out for your good, even though it may not be his perfect will, because you know what? We're all growing still. He'll still work things out for your good, even, you know, even despite your lack of knowledge. So I think there's a great security with that. God, he works all things out for his good. Even if something happened that wasn't quite according to his will, he'll still work it out because that 20%. He'll work with that 20%, right? Because it is, we do receive by understanding Jesus, right? We receive according to our faith. That's what faith means, seeing Jesus. But just as a for instance, when Jesus sent out his disciples initially, he sends out his disciples. This is a good example of, let me see here. Okay, in Luke 10, verse 3, Jesus sends out his disciples to go preaching, and he says, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, nor salute, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house." Yada, yada, yada. He goes on to it from here. There's other gospels. I just got this one gospel. In other gospels, he says, don't even take a walking stick with you. He basically tells them, don't bring your wallets. Don't bring your money bags. He sent them out without any money. He sent them to go preach into these towns, and he said, don't bring any money. And in other places, I believe he even says to not bring a sword, which I'll get to that in a second. I'll show you that in a second. So he tells them, don't bring a wallet, don't bring a walking stick. I believe, like I said, he refers to it later on also. Don't bring a sword. So he basically sent them out without any physical means of defense. No sword, no money, no food, walking stick even. He tells them, just when you go into those towns, people are going to be there to welcome you into their house. When they do, just say peace unto this house when you go in. Bless that household, they're going to receive you. Later, I'll read this to you also too. He confirms with them later on. He says, did you ever have any lack when I sent you out without any food, without any sword, without any money back? And they said, no, Lord. I'll read this to you from scripture later on. They said, no, Lord, we never had any lack when you sent us out that way. Now, let me read it to you. This is somewhere around where Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke chapter 22 and verse 35. Okay, ready? Luke 22, 35. Remember, he had already sent them out in their ministry earlier and told them, don't take a wallet. It's almost like someone saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the doctor, so I'm going to make that parallel in a second. But he told them, don't take a sword, don't take a wallet, don't take your money bags, don't take a walking stick, just go. And he says in verse 35, Luke 22, 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without a purse and a scrip and shoes, even shoes, don't even bring extra shoes, don't pack anything. He said, lack you anything? And they said, nothing. They had no lack. And then he said unto him, but now he that has a purse, let him take it. And likewise, he has a scrip. And I believe scrip, is that like a wallet? Yeah, it's a wallet. Scrip is a wallet. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. All he's saying is that I'm telling you now to bring a wallet, to get a sword. If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy a sword, because I have to go to the cross right now and die and be counted among the transgressors. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Here's the point. Why is it that Jesus would send them out with no wallet, with no money, with nothing, and just say, hey, you know what? Just go out and minister, and everything's going to be provided for you. And it was. They went out, and he just told them there, when I sent you out without a wallet and even extra shoes, did you ever lack anything? Were you like, oh, snap, I should have packed an extra pair of shoes? Nope. We had shoes. We had money. I didn't even bring a wallet with me to go out and minister. If you went on a mission trip and didn't bring a wallet, that's what the Lord's saying. Now, that's not far-fetched, right? All these things shall be added to us, right? So that's possible for us to live that way, where you can walk out and say, hey, you know what? Ravens are going to bring you food, and that's the potential, right? We have all things on the inside of us. We don't need any of these physical things, except that, you know, God can just add these things to us supernaturally. But why is it then at the end, he said they lacked nothing, and then Jesus said, well, now I'm telling you to get a wallet, get a sword. You have a sword? Okay, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment, buy a sword, all those things they told you didn't have to have before, now I'm saying you should have them. Because it's according to their faith. Because if you notice, when Jesus, if you may not be aware of this, but and I'll try to speed this up, but Jesus, when he was in his earthly ministry, he was working in the power of God himself. And when he sent out the disciples in his name, Jesus mentions this in John 17, he was actually, by the power of God working through him, sharing that power with them. So it really, they were working in the power of God that was working through Jesus. Okay, so Jesus was actually keeping them and protecting them. You know how we can share, obviously, the power of God one with another? Well, Jesus was sharing the power of God working through him with his disciples, and he was keeping them in his name. Literally, he prays this in John 17 and talks about this. And he even tells the Father, none of them have perished. He said, except that one, he's talking about Judas who had hung himself. And he said, except for him, I have kept them in your name, and I haven't lost even one of them. So he's saying, but that was by the power of God working through Jesus. So the power of God was present. Think about this. The power of God, because of Jesus being there, was present to the fact that they didn't need to bring a wallet. Because the power of God was present in them to the extent that they didn't need to do that. But notice this. When Jesus was about to be crucified, Jesus is about to lose all this power himself. He's about to be crucified, the Bible says, in weakness. Counted among the transgressors, forsaken by God. So he can't share that power with his disciples anymore. So that power that was working, now I'm not saying the disciples didn't know anything themselves, but what they knew was not sufficient for them to have gone out without a wallet. Again, maybe they were at that 20%. And that was not sufficient for them to have gone out without a wallet and just be fine with that. Again, it's according to their faith. So when Jesus is not going to be around anymore and that power is not even going to be with him, let alone share it with his disciples, he says, okay, I want to make sure you guys are taken care of. So when you go out, wear a mask. When you go out, wash your hands. Well, we didn't have to do this before, but okay, but you don't just drop the mask and drop the washing of hands. You make sure you have a revelation from God. The power of God is there to replace the mask first. If you have a revelation from God that you don't need a mask, that means because the power of God must be working in you to the extent that you do not need to wear a mask and you will go and you will be well and you will not catch coronavirus. That's fine. But if you're not sure of that, apart from a revelation of God telling you go out without a wallet, go out without a mask, go out and don't wash your hands, apart from that understanding, clear understanding of God telling you, you know what, the power of God is working in you to the extent that you don't need these things, then do those things. That's why. Again, for instance, this is a clear guidance when Jesus was telling his disciples, listen, the power of God is not working in you right now to the extent. You guys are learning, and that's great, but the power of God is not working in you, actually, to the extent that you just don't need a wallet and you don't need a sword. So I want you guys to be taken care of. So go ahead, get a wallet, get a sword, get your walking stick, take your extra shoes. And the power of God is still working with you, but it's just not smart to not have a sword right now because I'm not going to be here to share that power with you. Now, obviously, it's different, obviously. We don't need Jesus physically with us to share his power with us, but the same principle applies. The power of God's on the inside of me, sure, but unless I have a specific guidance from God, letting me know and reassuring me the fact that, you know what, Mike, my power is working in you to the extent that you do not need to wear a mask, maybe I don't need a mask. But I'm not going to gamble with my body. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm not going to take that gamble to say, oh, yeah, you know what, the power of God's just working in my body to an extent that I don't need a mask. I don't know. And again, maybe I don't need a mask, right? Again, the power of God's working through every believer. As you grow, the power of God's working in you. So don't get me wrong. It's that power that we teach and that Jesus provided. If you believe, out of your belly flows forth rivers of living water. But if you're not sure to what extent that is right now, and you don't have specific guidance to say, yeah, go on a missions trip and don't take any vaccines before you go over to some remote place in Africa, if you're not sure, then maybe you want to get the vaccine. Pray about it. You know what I'm saying? Just see, and it's according to our faith. If your faith is not full, that means your receiving is not full. And if your receiving is not full, then hey, all I'm saying is that it's just fine to take those regular precautions if you're not sure. And I'm just to reaffirm this, I'm not saying that because you wear a mask that you necessarily need to wear a mask. Literally, the power of God's working in you. I know that. If you come to this church and you know what we know, that means, you know what, you're growing with us and we have the power of God. Resurrection life raises the dead, cleanses the lepers, you know, gives sight to blind eyes. I mean, like, and already has finished coronavirus, and that's on the inside of me. But if I'm not sure how that, to what extent that is manifesting through me, I'm going to take care of my body, though, unless I have specific direction not to take that care for my body. You know,
and it's the same thing, though, and again, because it's come up a lot tonight, and so it was good that we got to this point, even with this question again, that we would define faith correctly, right? Because
right.
Even after everybody has heard,
I can wear a mask and know
right,
Jesus.
Right. Even after everybody has heard that, they still have this lingering thing in their mind saying, "But yeah, but if I would have faith in Jesus, then you know, having faith is, you know, if I have faith, how can I go out there and wear a mask and do this, and people are going to come to me and say, 'I thought you were a Christian. Why are you doing
right,
this?'"
Right. It stops even making sense when you right, know what faith
because,
is.
Because the thing is, right? If faith is faith in Jesus Christ, then the mask has nothing to do with your faith.
Right.
The whether
it's apples
or not,
and oranges.
Whether you're sick, it has nothing to do with faith.
Right.
In other words, faith in Jesus is faith in Jesus, and a manifestation is a manifestation, which is great. But that actually takes us full circle to what we started in the beginning about what, even speaking about manifestations. Manifestations are great, but that's not where our joy comes from. That's not where we're waiting for to be able to even test that, oh yeah, I have faith because I saw something. I know that I have faith in Jesus Christ regardless of whether I see anything. It's not about
right.
me believing that I believe. In other words, what's like believing that I believe or having an assurance that I am in faith or that I believe because I see something. Because you're going to always, you said it before, out of the abundance of your heart, you're always going to know in your mind first anyway before you ever see anything anyhow. So, but it's a good place to stay.
Like you said, it's defining faith. Yeah. It's an erroneous view of what faith is. Like I can see Jesus just as clear with a mask on or with a mask off. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah, right.
it's not even like, oh, you just have to tweak that a little bit or explain it a little. It just... No,
one
like just erase that. Like
yeah.
it's not, faith is just seeing Jesus. So like I said, why, well, here's an accusation for you, right? Which doesn't really make much sense. Well, Pastor Mike, I thought, you know, the dead are raised, and I thought, you know, you believed in the resurrection power of God, and I thought you believed that Jesus finished everything. So why are you even have to wash your hands? Because I lack knowledge? What are you talking about? My preaching, I don't preach, like Paul said, I don't preach my, in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4,
I don't preach myself.
Myself, but it's Christ Jesus the Lord. So I'm preaching Jesus, not myself. When I say it's finished, I didn't mean that I'm finished receiving it. I didn't say that I'm finished knowing it. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? It's like an accusation, like people think it's smart to say that. Oh, all these people, you know, talking about healing and health and talking about raising the dead and, you know, they're over here and you know, they're still going to the doctor or whatever. What does that even mean? Here's what I'm preaching, right? I'm not a hypocrite because I didn't preach. I never preached that I'm finished receiving. What I'm preaching that's finished is his work.
But you know what? That's really...
I'm growing in it.
to not put fault in it, but that really is the fault of the way the church teaches faith.
Right.
Because
if I
teach faith that it is what I do, then of course, if you don't do it, then you don't have any faith.
But if you teach faith is just learning what Jesus accomplished for you 2,000 years ago at the cross...
They wouldn't ask stupid questions like that.
Then it doesn't even make sense to say, how can you be in faith and wear a mask?
Right.
It just makes me in my head like,
to do with the other?
Right. It doesn't, again, it's not even like I can explain it. I would just have to erase the question and just answer you in a different way because it just doesn't make sense. Like I said, it's defining faith. And again, I know that, you know, again, we're growing, so I understand that we can have misconceptions about faith, but it's just that faith is just getting to know what Jesus did. And like I said, I can do that with a mask on or with a mask off, but why would I have to wear the mask in general? Because I lack knowledge. And you know what? I don't know. Again, without specific guidance from God to not wear a mask, why wouldn't I just, and again, we were just out, right, at the stores and stuff like that. We went out to do a few things. And, you know, we were thinking like, oh, you know, should we wear masks when we're out? Because, you know, the people, you know, the guidelines, they had recommended wearing masks and stuff. And, you know, we started and then I got like a scarf on my face. And I'm like, you know, I won't even say what you had on your face. It wasn't anything too bad.
It was a handkerchief.
Okay, yeah, right. So she had a handkerchief tied around her.
It looked like a doctor's mask.
Yeah, but we end up not wearing them. But you know what though? Okay, you keep your distance from people and stuff. And you know what though? Let's just say, right, I don't have a mask on, someone coughs in my face. Okay, what Jesus did is still the same. Do I have to get sick now? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the power of God's not working in me. It's just that if I don't have the specific guidance to not take a certain precaution, then I take the precaution. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, if I'm one of the disciples, and unless I had specific direction from Jesus to say, don't, you know, go out without a wallet, I would just take my wallet with me. It's just, you know, again, it's one of those silly things that you're doing it because you're still growing. You're still growing your knowledge, and unless you have specific guidance from God saying, yeah, the power of God is working in you to the extent that you don't need this, here's the point. God wants his power to replace these things. Not that you just, for instance, like going to the doctor. It's not that you just stop going to the doctor or stop taking medication. No, let the power of God replace your medication. Once the power of God works and you get healed of something, then you don't have to take medication anymore because the power of God's working to that extent. God doesn't want you in limbo saying, nope, according to your knowledge, the power of God is not working in you yet to where, you know, the healing of whatever you got is manifest yet, but I just want you anyway to stop taking medication. Okay, so where does that leave me? It leaves me sick and possibly in pain with no medication. And the power of God's not even working in me to manifest. So you get, yeah, we can get to know the Lord and that power of God can get working in there and we can, you know, stir up our pure minds and have the power of God manifest. And that's good. But the thing is, God wants the power of God to replace it first. Okay, the power of God's working in that area. And then he can tell his disciples, since the power of God's already working in your finances sufficiently, why would you need a wallet? It's like in the new earth. Are we going to have to take our wallets out and bring our wallets around? No, why? Because the power of God will be working in us sufficiently to have replaced our wallets. Will we have to eat in the new earth? No, we won't have to eat in the new earth. But why do we eat now? Because we're still growing. And unless God gave you specific direction, like Moses, for instance, and Moses went up on a mountain, and he didn't have to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything. And that's great. And that's what's in me too, and more so. But unless God tells me to not eat for 40 days, I'm not just going to fast for 40 days. Because why? Because I'm still growing. And God will let me know when his power is working in me sufficient enough to where I don't need some physical thing. He weans me off the physical thing. He weans me off my wallet. He weans me off the doctor. He weans me off the medication. You're growing. You know, if you're taking medication now or these stupid glasses, you'll see me. Trust me, I'll grow out of it. I'll grow out of these things. I don't actually need these things. But until I don't need these things anymore, I don't mind wearing it for now. And I think sooner than later, you'll see me take them off and I don't have to wear them anymore. But I'll grow out of it. But I'm not just going to stop wearing them now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to stop wearing them now before the power of God replaces it. Let the power of God manifest first, and then you can take them off.
And you know you what? Know? Even if you
get weaned off of it.
Even if you believe that you have clear knowledge about something, right? And you believe, okay, yeah, I don't have to wear a mask. And let's say, just for what we're talking about, we don't have to get sick either way. But let's say you don't wear your mask. And then something happens and you get sick. Still, even in that scenario, still nothing has changed. Still, it doesn't change the fact that faith is faith in Jesus. Now, if you ask, well, why did? Because that's what people will do. Well, why did I get sick? If I thought in my mind that I had clear direction from God,
because you were wrong,
I ended up getting sick. Because right, you were wrong one thing, but what it really comes down to is lack of knowledge.
Right.
Is what it's
you wrongly estimated
right,
your knowledge.
Like we can't be afraid to say that. Like
okay,
if something happens to you that is not in line with what God says, lack of knowledge, and that's fine.
Right. And again, I just told you about this. You know what this is right here? This pair of glasses on my face? That's called lack of knowledge. I got so much power on the God on the inside of me that couldn't be except for lack of knowledge that someone would have to wear glasses, especially somebody like me who's got the power of God on the inside of him. So of course it's lack of knowledge. Again, you can just tell somebody, you're wearing a mask? Yeah, I'm wearing a mask for now. I'll grow out of it, though. Trust me. And guess what? If you're not saved, one day you'll see me. Sooner or later, you'll see me, and I won't have to wear a mask for the rest of my life because I'll grow out of it. But it's my knowledge that's prohibiting the power of God, not God that's prohibiting his power. Or it's just, oh, no, God doesn't want us to be stupid, though. No. What does that even mean, God?
Well, God still wants us to use wisdom, though. That's why I have to wear a mask.
No, because it would be actually be wisdom. It would be wisdom to not wear a mask if the power of God were working in you sufficient. Do you think it's wisdom to go out without a wallet? You think it's wisdom to go out without an extra pair of shoes if you go on vacation? Do you think it's good to go out without any defense whatsoever, especially in the kind of climate that they were in back then, without a sword or without any kind of protection or anything like that? Do you think that is smart? Yeah, it's smart if you got the power of God working already to that extent.
Right.
If you don't, it's not smart. So, of course,
well, God wants us to use wisdom. That's what, well, Jesus, he didn't want the disciples to use wisdom when he sent them out without a wallet. That was perfect wisdom.
Perfect. Jesus evaluated the situation. He said, well, I'm here. I'm sharing power. And I know when you go that you're not going to have any lack. So, of course, why would you bring a wallet? When you get there, someone will have money for you.
It was wisdom in both cases. When he told them
it's
to do it
way.
And to not do it, it was still the wisdom. It was his wisdom.
It's just a matter of where you at. I don't know. It depends. If you're there right now and you know you don't have to wear a mask, then sure. Like I said, then it's wisdom to not wear a mask. If you're not sure, then wear the mask anyway. And I'm not saying you have to wear a mask necessarily all the time. Again, it's whatever the precaution may be. Wash your hands, for instance. I would recommend it. Wash your hands. You go out, wash your hands. You know, we got a little boy at home right now, and so it's like, okay, you wash your hands before you get home. That's good. But guess what? We'll grow out of it. That's just because lack of knowledge. That's all that is. That's all it is.